And Lord, I come before you this morning, confessing and repenting. As I sing, you are my all in all, I know that it isn't always true, not because of who you are, but because of where I fall short. But Lord, we want you to be all there is for us. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit into our lives and help us ferret out those things and clean out those things that are not you, that are in our lives, that are in our thoughts, that are in our behavior and our actions. Lord, help us to rid our lives of those things, that we may be so filled with you that when others look at us, they don't see us, but they see you. Father, I ask now that you would teach us through your word, teach us through your spirit. Lord, through me or in spite of me, Father, may your word be spoken as truth here in this place, in this hour, for these your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we heard earlier today, we're going to be sharing this morning from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. If you want to open your Bibles to Matthew 6, we're going to begin with verse 5, but we're going to dance around 6 a little bit and probably talk about some other stuff too while we're here. Kind of focused around the Lord's Prayer. That's what this message is going to be centered upon. And you may have noticed, if you've been attending here a while, that we haven't said the Lord's Prayer very often, and that's been some by design until we got to this point where we could talk about it and learn about it a little bit. The Lord's Prayer is vital. It is vital to our lives, because when they asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," this is what he taught. So it's a vital thing that we know and learn. But we also need to know what Jesus was teaching when he taught this prayer. These aren't just words. These are the words of God spoken through Jesus to teach us, to teach those who are standing physically in front of the man Jesus, but just as much for you and I as they were for them. And so the Lord's Prayer is important. You've probably heard some of the flack going on about the county council down in Sussex County over the Lord's Prayer, and it's taken many unfortunate turns, this discussion has, I usually don't bother thinking about these things very much, but it has me quite upset. That if you don't know, they have for years opened their session with the Lord's Prayer, and then there was some people upset and filed an injunction against them to prevent them from doing that. And then in their defense, they said, well, we can do it. We're allowed to do it. The law says we can do it because it's not a Christian prayer. My response is, then why say it? They say it's not a Christian prayer because it doesn't mention the name of Christ in it. Well, I read the Gettysburg Address and never saw Abraham Lincoln in the words. But he wrote it and said it. And Jesus gave us these words. If you pray these, you better be praying to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, or it's blaspheming the word that God has given us. So use it as it's meant to be used. It's not a magic incantation. Saying it a certain number of times can't fix anything. Only using the truth of these words to communicate with your Father in heaven, as Jesus taught. And we need to remember that at any time we pray, as Hebrews 4 teaches us, we can do that. It says to boldly approach the throne. But we need to read back before it talks about boldly approaching the throne. We can boldly approach the throne because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus going before us as high priest and as sacrifice has opened so that we may go and pray. So praying is not something I take lightly. It is something we can do. We can do it any time and anywhere. But let us not take it lightly. Let us remember to whom we are speaking. That we are boldly maybe approaching, but we are still approaching the throne. Boldly we may approach, but let us approach with reverence. With understanding that it is the God of heaven. And so that brings us into this sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Understand that this is a great part of Jesus' teaching. This is, I don't know if you can see my Bible or not, if you have one of those where Jesus' words are in red, this is kind of smack dab in the middle of a bunch of those red words. Jesus had been teaching for some time. But this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And notice in chapter 6, verse 5, it starts with, "And when you pray," and jump up to verse 2, "when you give to the needy," and then over to verse 16, "when you fast." Jesus wasn't giving these things as options. He was saying, you are to give, you are to pray, and you are to fast. And this is among many things that Jesus told us to do. But let us not take these things lightly, for these are commands given from Jesus. And he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray." This will sound a little different. I'm reading from the New International Version, but the meaning is the same. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And depending upon the Bible you have in front of you, it may or may not include the doxology. Some transcripts do and some don't. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And so Jesus is giving these instructions, again, in the midst of many instructions about Christian living. He's giving these instructions on how to pray. And when he says to go into your room to pray, that is not a prohibition against praying in public. That is a prohibition against praying because you're in public. It's a prohibition against showing off by praying, which was something that some of the leaders here were prone to doing. They were showing off by their prayers, and they would be long and eloquent, and they were really speaking to those around them more than they were communicating with God. And so we get into these words of the Lord's Prayer. And we're used to hearing, "Our Father who art in heaven." And I'm going to just jump for a second here on what we say after "Our Father." The original King James Version, which, as you know, I hope you know, was not the original language that the Bible was written in. But in that time, there was no word "who." The word "which" was used interchangeably. It's not a sin to use "which" instead of "who," but "who" is, in modern day English, "who" is what we use for people, "which" is what we use for things. And so I choose to say "who" when I say that prayer, and that's just so you know that. I think it's, for me, it's a matter of respect. But this says, "Our Father in heaven," and I think we need to stop right at "our Father." And though we're used to saying this, and most of us have said this many, many times in our lives, and the words flow out of us, we need to stop and think about the phrase, "our Father." Jesus was talking to a group of Jewish people. And when they considered their father, their ancestral father, they considered Abraham to be their father. So this was a whole new thing. Jesus saying, God is your Father. And in that, he's saying, you are His children. And that's church speak. We're used to hearing that now about God the Father and us being His children. But I was talking to a pastor down in Lewis early this morning whose niece is in the hospital getting ready to have a baby. His niece is married to a Marine who's in Afghanistan. Now think of the ache in that father's heart right now. Think of father, what that means. Think of that ache. And think of the joy, because few things bring joy like what we see in our children. And Jesus was saying, this is the relationship that you have with God. He's your father. You're His children. You have the ability to hurt Him more than anyone and the ability to bring Him joy more than anything else. For He is your Father. Now, they knew where God lived. But I think a reminder to them and to us, when we say our Father in heaven, Jesus is telling them, when you speak here, whether He was on the mount teaching, or whether we are here in Wyoming, Delaware, when you speak that God in heaven hears what you have to say. He hears your words. He hears your cries. That heaven is not a far off place that prohibits God from hearing your prayers. You know, you might call out at the house, you might call for one of your kids or something, you might yell out their name and somebody would say, oh, they're outside. And that would mean they can't hear you. But when Jesus says, our Father in heaven, He's not saying God can't hear you. He's saying God hears you in heaven, on the throne of heaven. The Lord God hears your prayers. Hallowed be your name. Now, our words do not make God's name hallowed or holy. His name is holy. It is more holy than anything we can ever try to define as holy. The name of God is holy. But this is a recognition in the midst of going to God, who is our Father, and we are His children. But remember that His name is holy. And that goes back to boldly approaching the throne, but yet with reverence. And then Jesus says, thy kingdom come. Now what does that mean? It doesn't say, may your kingdom come. It doesn't say, or your kingdom has come. So which does it mean? Well, I think it means both. I think the day Jesus was born, the kingdom of heaven set foot on earth. It took its first step onto the earth. And the kingdom of heaven will be completed when Jesus comes again. And so I think it is what has begun and what is yet to come. And we recognize that we are resting and available and living in the kingdom of God. And then I love this line, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now I want you to imagine Jesus sitting next to the Father, at the right hand of the Father. And they're surrounded by these heavenly beings, the angels and the seraphim and the cherubim. And God sends one of them, gives one of them a task to do. How do you think that angel would respond? Would he check his day planner? Would he see if it fit in with his own personal mission statement? Or what else he had to do that day? No. How do you think? When do you think he would respond? Immediately. When do you think he would stop with the job? When it was done. What type of quality do you think would be given to the task? I think it would be done to perfection. It would be done well. And so when I pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I'm imagining that the angels do God's will immediately, completely, and well. So I'm saying, Lord, may that happen here as it happens there. So now I'm looking at who is it that God works through here? Well, that would be me. That would be you. That would be the church. So Lord, may we respond to your will as the angels do. May we respond to your will as the heavenly beings do. May we do every task you call us to do. May we go about it immediately or in your time. May we do it well. And may we do it to completion. That's how God's will is accomplished on here, like it is in heaven. So we're asking, God, work through us. May we respond as your heavenly beings would respond to your word. And may your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. This harkens back to the story of the Israelites wandering in the desert. Remember how they were fed? The manna that fell from heaven. Do you remember the collection rules? Just enough for the day, right? Just enough. And then when those who broke the rule and took too much, what happened? It went rotten, right? Wasn't any good. And God provided every single day. Every single day. And so, we are asking God not only just to keep feeding us, and of course this is not just food, this is all of our things, all of the things that we need provided, not just give it to us every day, but also, Lord, may we have the faith, because we know the story, may we have the faith to look to you and to come to you every day, to reach to you daily. And see, part of the reason God caused them to come daily was for them to recognize His presence in their lives on a daily basis. Because left to human nature, if God gave them a month's supply, it would be 29 days before they thought about Him again. But we need to go to God daily, and He will provide for us each day according to our needs. And I think this next verse is one of the scariest in all of Scripture. Forgive us our trespasses or our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, forgive me in the same manner that I forgive others. Give us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, forgive me in the same manner as I forgive others. But that's a coin with two sides. And the other side, that is, Lord, give me the ability to forgive others as you've already forgiven me. Because you've forgiven me with a complete forgiveness for everything I've ever done and ever will do. Father, you have already forgiven me through the blood of Christ. I have been forgiven. Lord, give me the ability to forgive those around me who have done things that are far less to me than what I did to your son. Give me the ability to forgive others as you forgive me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, the Scripture tells us that no one can say God is tempting us. So what does this mean when we ask God not to lead us into temptation? Well, I imagine myself at a fork in the road, and I'm looking for direction. Into temptation? Or not into temptation. There's no threat that God is going to lead me into temptation. The threat is that I'm going to go there all by myself running with arms open wide into temptation. That's the threat. That's the concern. So I'm saying, Lord, lead me, but not into temptation. Lord, lead me and may I follow. Lord, grab me and pull me the other direction. Lead me, but not into temptation. When we pray this prayer, we have a totality of our relationship with God, where we're at the center, and God, who is all, He is our Father, and He is holy. And He provides, and if we follow, will keep us out of trouble. And He gives us the ability to forgive. This is God working in us. This framework of prayer that Jesus taught. It is not the only way to pray. Sometimes we pray for someone who is sick. Sometimes we pray for a certain circumstance. But our prayer in general, not a prayer, but our prayer as we pray in our lives, this is a framework for how we pray. And it is a good thing for us to share this prayer as it is written together with one another to remind us of those things. I find often standing here with a family who doesn't have much of a church affiliation, and they lost a loved one, and they don't know what to ask you to do. Generally, they'll ask for two things, the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. And it's at those moments I'm thankful that those words, if nothing else from Scripture, are ingrained in those people's hearts. Because the Lord of God, when sent out, does not return void. And if they know that, it's a start. It's a place where we can connect, where God can bring us together. So I am thankful for this prayer that Jesus taught us. And I'm thankful that we can share it with one another. But let us always remember the fullness and the richness of these words. Let us not just repeat them out, you know, like some saying, like some chorus to a song somewhere. Let us understand that the Lord God in the person of Jesus taught us this, that we may communicate with the Father. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.